Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace. Many years ago, probably the turn of the century of the last century, there was at the beginning of the service in St. Bartholomew's on Fifth Avenue, New York City, there was a man walking in with a large, tall hat, like they used to wear in that time. And he went down somewhere near the front of the church, and he sat there. And the head usher, or the usher came by and said, you know, sir, would you please remove your hat? And he goes, no, I don't think that I will. And so the usher went back to tell the head usher. The head usher came down to him, sir, would you please remove your hat? He goes, no, I don't believe that I will. And he continued to sit there and begin to get a little frustrated. And then one of the women of the parish, she came down and said, sir, would you please mind removing your hat? And he says, no, I don't believe that I will. And he sat there, and they began to get really nervous about this because it was an obstructed view, kind of like the poles over here and the pole over here, and it was really kind of disturbing. And it's getting closer to service, and so just as the service was about ready to start, the senior warden of this church went down there and tried to grab it. The man nimbly moved to the side and out of the reach, and the procession started. And when the procession started, the man stood up, took off his hat, and said to the side, never to put it on again. Service went on. After the service, these four frustrated people were at the back of the top of the church, and when the man came up, they approached him and said, sir, probably you're unaware, but men don't wear hats in the Episcopal Church. He said, well, however, you may think that. I happen to know because I've been an Episcopalian all my life. In fact, I've been coming to this church for 2 years and never met a soul. But today I met an usher, a head usher, the women people, and the senior warden. Sometimes we don't meet people until there's a problem. But that's not the way it's supposed to be in church with fellowship. Christian fellowship is so unique that the first believers searched for a word they can use to describe it. And they found one in an old common Greek word. They took it and they dusted it off and they applied it to themselves, koinonia. Koinonia is that word that they want to use for the sense of togetherness that they have. No ordinary word would describe the relationship that existed among believers. The basic definition of koinonia would be sharing in something with someone, commonness. This can be simply fellowship, but in application in Scripture, it gives it a far, far deeper meaning. In Romans 15:26, Paul used the word in commending churches that were pleased to make a contribution, koinonia, for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. We experience koinonia whenever we help someone in need. We have a fellowship with them. We have a commonness with them, and we are used by God to come to their aid. Participation in the transformation of this church over the last 4 years built a lot of koinonia amongst us, and dust and debris and everything getting shoved into the kitchen. That was always the phrase for a lot of time. Where is it? It's probably in the kitchen, because there was no kitchen. There was an idea of a kitchen, but we had to just shove it all in there for Sunday morning because it was just everything all about. A lot of fellowship that takes place. We have koinonia when we participate in communion. To the church in Corinth, Paul asked, is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing, same word, in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread in which we break a sharing or koinonia in the body of Christ, that commonness that we have? We have in fact, we do communion differently than we did the church up in Midland. And up there, as the plate was passed, you took the bread, you took it, you took the juice, and you passed it, you just kept passing the plate. And someone had mentioned, a young man from South America said, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we just shared it together? And so we had the idea and thought and the practice then came about that we take the bread, we hold the bread, hold the juice. A little awkward, yes. But then we have that koinonia and taking it together. We take the bread together, we take the juice. That's done on purpose. So we have that commonness, that common action together in communion. Later in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, Paul admonished that same church saying this, do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? This tells us what to whom we should not have koinonia. There's not a commonness with light and darkness, with good and with evil. In fact, we are to come against that in Christ's strength. When a person accepts the call of Christ and salvation, they must understand that koinonia is a significant part of our being followers of Jesus Christ, because fellowship is more than just a cup of coffee. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time and for this truth that we have in your word and for the opportunity that we have to study it. Lord, would you illuminate our thoughts and would you just help us to glean all that's there for us that we might live in this life successfully for you. And Father, may you bless us now in Christ's name. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 1. We're going to look at the first three verses. If you hit Revelation, you've gone too far. Back up past Jude and then 3rd, 2nd, and 1st John. This is a scripture that's often used in identifying John as a valid witness of Jesus Christ. But today I want to see it from the view of fellowship. If you didn't bring a Bible, there are chair Bibles around you, and turn to the page that's behind me. The first letter of John, chapter 1, verse 1, says, "What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete." The koinonia that John is expressing, we have seen the light. We've seen the life with the eternal life, which is Jesus Christ. He talks about the senses. We've touched him, seen, held, heard, behind. We want to share him with you so that our joy is complete. Our joy is complete with John 2,000 years later, because we can receive that and we can listen to that and grow in that and partake in that. This talks about the participants in fellowship. And it's seen in believer to believer and saint to saint. A non-believer can come to church and sing songs, and we pray that they do. But they can't worship, because worship implies relationship. Now, when you have a relationship with Christ, everything radically changes. You might have been a person, many have experienced that, where you've gone to church, you've gone with, maybe come back on a national, back to church Sunday, which I don't think it's listed long, been around that long, but you come with someone through an invitation, and you listen, you watch, you kind of observe, you know. But when you accept Christ, everything changes. The words make sense. The emotion makes sense. The focus makes sense. There's a transformation. You've crossed over from darkness into light. And when you do that, you are able to then worship. Christ has entered into that relationship, and you finally got what the words meant. It's the same way with fellowship. Fellowship is deeper than social interaction. Some things we call fellowship actually really is more accurate to call social interaction. In fact, on our first signs, when we met at the church, we had worship service at 10:30 and fellowship at 10:15. What does that mean? You know, we took it off because really it, to a non-believer, wouldn't mean a whole lot. It's much more than coffee and donuts and stuff, but that's what we use it as. But fellowship really is a lot deeper than that. Really, that is more social interaction out there that we have. We have social interaction every Sunday morning before and after service. It's a good thing, though, too, though, isn't it? But John 13:34 records Jesus' words. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is a topic we discussed much this week, this verse. Jesus calls us to love. Love one another. Later on, he also calls us to love our enemies. Who does Jesus say we don't have to love? Nobody. There's no one. It's all inclusive. It's a radical change that takes place that he was establishing within us. Even those who participate in fellowship are to display love towards the body of Christ. Now, it's been said that Christians are the only one that shoot their wounded. You know, sometimes churches are not very loving. Something takes place in their lives, and all of a sudden they've got a mark on them where they've fallen short. Let me give you a little hint. Everybody falls short. everybody, some a little more public than others, but we all fall short. We don't worship because we're perfect. We worship a perfect God because he's perfect. We get it mixed up at some time. We're called to display love. A lot of times, you know, someone is having a rough time, you know, you go, they're really being kind of a jerk, kind of crusty. But you ever go say, what's up with you? Something's different. What's going on in your life? We tend to be quick to judge rather than quick to come to the aid to find out what's going on. And if nothing's going on, then you say, well, you're being kind of crusty. You know, lighten up a little bit. Sometimes we need to do that. I would love someone to do that. My wife's done that for me sometimes, you know, and has told me that I'm crusty. I love her. But the more importantly, she loves me to do that. Although the word koinonia is not used in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it doesn't in fact appear until the book of Acts. We know that the greatest fellowship is our having Christ in common. Jesus says of love in John 17, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I and them and you and me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Jesus illustrates the love of Father for his Son and love for his creation. When we have love one for another and love within the body and let that love overflow, it's a huge, makes a huge difference in the world. In Philippians, love is not the only quality of fellowship that believers participate in. Paul writes in Philippians 2, verse 1, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship, koinonia, of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintain the same love, united in the Spirit, intent on one purpose. What's that purpose? Christ. You see, as disciples of Jesus who participated in fellowship, it is our charge to seek unity in the body of Christ. Unity. There is an order in which God has placed in the church, and that's a good order. It should be a benevolent order. I am not the head of this church. Pastor Roland's not the head of this church. Christ is. And that should be seen in our leadership. We have Tom Honan and Kevin Knickerbocker as elders. The collaboration of that is unity in Christ is what the direction is. James, as pastor of worship arts, the collection is what is Christ doing in this and going forward. You know, our wives, tremendous attack there to trying to take our eyes off from that. But we seek unity in the body. Ephesians 4, 1 says, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of which you've been called. We've been called to a certain walk, a certain attitude, a certain way of which we see things. With all, here's the part that's going to have some people just jumping out of their seats. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Whenever people leave a church in a huff, I always wonder why. Has God offended in some way? And if man is offended in some way, isn't there a way to work that out or to discuss that? You know, the Bible tells us we should forgive with the forgiveness we've been given. What have we been forgiven? We're good people. Oh, yes, let's forget about all the sins we've done, are going to do, will do. God's forgiven those. There should be no reason for us to hold something against somebody else. We're just quirky people. We're quirky sheep. You know? We're just all different. And that's okay. There's not a problem being different. There's a problem of letting Satan in and cause disunity, and he does that as often as he can. He loves. And when does he most disrupt the unity within your homes? Sunday morning? How many of you have just had blissful Sunday mornings? Nothing's ever gone wrong on a Sunday morning. Yeah, right. Yeah. I've told the story about the family in Midland would come in their slippers because they had so much going on, they didn't have time to put their shoes on. I love that. I love seeing bunny slippers. Now, if you do as a group, I'm going to really be scared. We need to preserve that. Following fellowship also allows us the opportunity to contribute to the body of Christ. That was the heart of last week's message in Acts chapter 2 we talked about, starting verse 44. But I'm going to share that verse again today, because here we have a good picture as to what the church started out to be, displaying love, united long before denominational divisions, starting at Acts 2, verse 44. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. This wasn't communism or socialism. It was fellowship. It was koinonia. How often have we seen a need and then just rise to the occasion to meet it? That's koinonia. We've done that as a church, and we've done it as individuals, and that's a really blessing of a thing to do to help people within the body of Christ. I don't see anything in Scripture that says help all the community, because we can't. That's just too overwhelming. There are a lot of organizations that are there for that, and a lot of people think that churches are built to do that and supposed to do that, and they get angry when you can't do that. And they get even angry. What church do you go to? Oh, I used to go to church. They're all a bunch of hypocrites. Who are they calling? They're calling the hypocrites to help them out. That doesn't make sense to me. They get it kind of reversed. And I don't mean to be critical on that, but they don't understand. They don't understand because, what, there's no koinonia. But a need rises up in this church, and we have often risen to the occasion to help out. Can you help in every way? No. But you keep your eyes open for what God's going to do and what you can do. Listen at a couple chapters later, Acts chapter 4, starting verse 31. See how fellowship can radically affect a church. Luke writes this, "And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were given testimony to the resurrection of the Lord, and the abundant grace was upon them all." Hey, that's a prayer meeting. You know, have it shook up. Sometimes we get shook up just because of the speakers and these cars along the road, but this was a real shakeup that took place. And what did they proclaim? They didn't say they started speaking in tongues. They began to declare the word of the Lord. That's the power. They began to proclaim the testimony of Christ with great power. And God was blessing them. That's contributing to the body of Christ as well. And understand that we have an opportunity and testimony to good, the bad, and the ugly as God takes us through things. I have really a hard time trusting someone that just says, "Oh yeah, God's great all the time. All the time God's great and there's no problems." Really? Let me tell you about my life, because I got problems all the time. But I got a great solution though too. Life is filled with difficulties. And every time we give the people that, you know, once I came to Christ, everything was smooth sailing. Have you read this book lately? It's called the Bible. It says, when you have trials, and Peter doesn't say it's smooth sailing. No, God says, I will be with you though all the way through. We're going to get that and starting next week in 1 Peter. There's the elements of fellowship. I think it's important to understand that if we experience biblical fellowship, that fellowship challenges us to grow. In the context of fellowship, Peter charged his readers in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I tell people, and it's one of my repeated lines, that, you know, don't find a church that's going to feed you. Any church can feed you. Find the church that's going to cause you to grow. Because people, if you're not growing, you got to find a church that will. I will not connect with everybody. Some people just will not get me at all. You know, but I pray for those who do, that I have that way of showing that my life has changed. You know, that God has changed it and has caused me to grow even now. I don't stop because my pastor Roland doesn't stop because he's a pastor. James, we installed him as the pastor of worship bars last week. Doesn't stop him. Well, I've arrived now. I can just stop. No, we're always growing. We're always messing up. But we're always finding the God that goes and takes us through. We have to continually grow. All of us. I don't see how you can be a participant in the Christian fellowship and not grow. Christianity is not a observant category. You know, we're called to be participants in it, not just watching it along the side of the road. Fellowship gives us an opportunity to share Jesus. I don't mean in the context of evangelism, although that's good and has its place. I mean in the context of sharing what Jesus is doing in your life. You may be able to share every exciting detail about Michigan yesterday and every unexciting detail about Michigan State yesterday, or exactly where the Tigers are in this pennant race. And you know that they're one game behind. And you know that if Verlander pitched that game the other day in Chicago, that we'd be tied for first place. And you're looking towards, but see, how often do we share what Jesus is doing in our lives and how exciting that is? See, we were out there yesterday in the parking lot and doing, do you notice the new sign as you came in through the front door? And the yellow that's there now to people going, oh, you think we have less parking spots now? No, because you guys just parked anywhere you wanted to. Now we have lines. We have hall monitors out there. Saying, we have new stickers saying, nice parking job. No, we don't. But our lives are an opportunity. I was thinking, what out there? God, you are great. This is so cool from what this was 4 years ago. It's all you. It's all you. You know, that's got to be the mindset. And then sharing that. You know, we said, praise God, look at the parking lot. We could puff ourselves up. Look what we have done. And God can correct our thoughts really quickly, by the way. Now, look what God's done. For those who have been here from the very beginning, you know, you've seen this transformation take place. You know, the Hanans, just before we moved in the building, that summer you started in 2008, and Ken and Mary Faith back in the beginning in 2007. We have to take those opportunities God's given to us because it's important to share the victories in our lives, even the small ones. Another element of fellowship is fellowship motivates us to reach out. I read an article about a church newsletter mentioning a man who visited 18 different churches on successive Sundays. He was trying to find out what the churches were really like. And he went in there, and he said, I sat near the front, and after the service, I walked slowly to the rear, then returned to the front, and I went back to the foyer using a different aisle. I smiled. I was neatly dressed, kind of like Kevin Poole here. I asked one person to direct me to a specific place, a fellowship hall, pastor study, etc., and I remained for coffee if it was served. I used a scale to rate the reception I received. I awarded points on the following basis. 10 for a smile from a worshiper. 10 for a greeting from someone sitting nearby. 100 of an exchange of names. Hi, my name is so-and-so. You know, that thing. 200 for an invitation to have coffee. 200 for an invitation to return. 1,000 for an introduction to another worshiper. 2,000 for an invitation to meet the pastor. Oh, that's the associate pastor. 10 to reach the senior pastor. No, I'm just kidding. On this scale, he says, 11 of the 18 churches earned fewer than 100 points. He says, actually, 5 churches received less than 20. This is not a stretch, people. We experience that even just on our vacation. You know, we always sit in the front because being ADD, you don't want any distractions. Sit in the front and the back didn't matter. You know, you didn't have the people. You know, not that you have to swarm on them like a cult, you know. You know, you don't want to make them totally uncomfortable, but to ignore them is not a good thing either. The author's conclusion was this: the doctrine may be biblical, the singing inspirational, the sermon uplifting, but when a visitor finds nobody who cares whether they're there or not, they are not likely to come back. I was just really gratified, and it was no surprise to me that we got a phone call from some guests that we had while I was gone and wanted to make sure that I knew that they were just so overwhelmed by the friendliness of this church and the grace that was given to them, and that when they're here in this area once or twice a year, this will be their home away from home. That didn't surprise me, but it did greatly please me. You know, that we've always tried to infuse that idea. Always be looking out for the guests. We don't call them visitors. They're guests. Because guests in implies intimacy and warmness. Last home stretch here. I think it's fair that we should also expect the results of fellowship. One of the results is this: encouragement. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider, that means put a mind to, think about that on purpose, how we may stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, And all the more as you see the day drawing near. I'm here because I want to be here. That's simple. Not because I'm the pastor, because when I wasn't a pastor, I was still, church was still my priority. It wasn't always, but when God got a hold, I wanted that because I knew there was something there special that I would not get during the week. I didn't want to miss it. We didn't announce the fact that, you know, that who was going to be in the pulpit, because it doesn't matter who's going to be in the pulpit, because God's here. This is God's church. And if people come or decide, I had a phone call from a mutual friend this morning who calls once in a while and talks to you forever and ever and ever. You know, I shall leave him nameless because he's not part of this church, but, you know, and he wanted to make sure that I was still talking about the ships, you know, and I said, yeah, this is the last Sunday, then we start in First Peter. Okay, well, maybe I'll see you next Sunday. I don't like that title. I think I'll go to something else. You know, we're here to encourage, you know. I may have a message that falls totally flat, but you can still be encouraged. You can still be encouraged. God wants us to fellowship so we can stimulate one another and encourage them. Wow, good to see you. You know, we don't say where you've been. I don't care where you've been, but it's good to see you. Always good to see you. Sometimes our encouraging is outward towards others who are experiencing difficulties, which brings us to another result of fellowship, compassion. Fellowship gives us the opportunity to receive and give compassion. 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father of mercies, which is also some translated compassion, and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. We receive comfort by God in our affliction, then we're able to give that comfort to others and say, you know what? Don't say, I've been there, let me tell you my story. Listen to their story. You've been through your story, and you made it through. Be that encouragement to tell them that you'll make it through as well. God will take you through that. Fellowship also allows us the opportunity to be compassionate towards others who are going through trials. Fellowship also helps us conform to the image of Christ. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, we, with unveiled face, talking about Moses. When Moses went up to meet with God on the mountaintop, he had that Shekinah glory. He had been in the presence of God, and he came down. He literally, like radioactive, he glowed from being next to God. He just glowed, and it scared the nation of Israel. So to diminish that, he would wear a veil. And he continued to wear it for a while, even after the glory gone, because, you know, you didn't want that to be the reason they're drawn to him. You know, that was a kind of a two-edged sword in some ways. So we, with unveiled face, seeing God face to face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. There should be something that's exuding from us that says we're spending time with God, just as from the Lord the Spirit. We need to be transformed. We need to be changed, because we don't come to Christ because we're perfected. God perfects us in Christ because we've received him. We change day by day by day in what we do. I love the fact, the encouragement that James does. I can't see sometimes, and so I don't do that, and I should do that. I could listen to things. There are good habits we can build into it and do. Fellowship helps us encourage each other in our desire to be more like Christ. It's not a time to puff ourselves up, which has no place in fellowship, but a time of humbling ourselves before each other, serving another and one another and loving Christ. As those who desire to be a follower of Jesus Christ, we must involve ourselves in true fellowship. A church that displays love, seeks unity, and contributes to the body of Christ will thrive. A church that is cold and divided will die off. Many people go to church for different reasons, not all of them good. A lot of them are vain and self-centered, or thinking that it's out of an obligation or duty rather than I want to be there. I want to see what God's going to do. We have to have a different focus. A healthy look in the mirror may not be enough. Sometimes we might have someone need to come alongside and say, you know, where are you in your walk? Where are you in your life? Is that where you need to be? Had the occasion to talk to someone that has not been here probably 3-4 weeks. And if you know me, I never say, you know, where you've been, even though I may have a desire to know just technically where you've been hanging out. But, you know, and she's saying, well, I'll be there soon. I said, you know, I know that. I just miss you when you're not there. to encourage in that way. Stewardship, worship, fellowship are all ships that we have to have in our lives because they're spoken about in God's Word. And they're not words to shackle us, but to free us and understand that. It's freeing to be a part of a body of Christ that loves God. You know, there was a lot of love in the room yesterday doing all that work. It was enjoyable. Hard work, you know, but enjoyable. Christianity is not a cakewalk. And it's going to get more and more difficult as life goes on and society changes. It's funny that we're called intolerant, and who speaks those things about us? People who are intolerant, you know. But hold truth, hold fast to the truth. Family, I'm going to close this illustration. Family had gone to the movies. And when they got to the movies, the father stayed behind to go to the concession stand and get some popcorn. And he got all this stuff. He started walking through the movie theater, and the lights had dimmed, and he couldn't see his family. He's walking up and down the aisles. And you ever seen people like that? They're looking for their groupie and stuff. And all of a sudden, the lights started to get dimmer as the movie gets started. He just stops and goes, "Does anybody recognize me?" There are people coming to churches saying, "Does anybody recognize me? Is anybody paying attention?" It's not that they become the focal point, but if we don't notice them, if we don't invite them in, if we don't make them feel welcome, they can stand in the hallway, hospitality, or the parking lots thinking, "Does anybody recognize me? Do I really even matter?" Yes. You matter because of the fellowship we have, Father to Son, and us with His Son. It matters. I have been there, and no doubt I bet you have too. Our mission statement is centered in Christ, in relationship, and in fellowship. Simply, a place to love God, love people, and serve in community. You can provide the one answer of how we can accomplish that. Come. Come in fellowship. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for all that it holds. We thank you for your graciousness. Lord, you created fellowship one with another to be uniquely different than the world, because the commonness that we have is your Son, Jesus Christ, who is anything but common. May we be mindful of that so that we continually seek to build the body of Christ up in relationship, to have him be first and foremost, and to put our focus is on him and not on self. Father, may you use this church to make a difference in this community, and may it bring you glory. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Every soul we long to reach, every heart we hope to teach, everywhere we share his peace, is only by his grace. Every loving word we say, every tear we wipe away, every sorrow turned to praise, is only by his grace. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown, he will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone.
Grace alone,
grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown, he will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. We will go forth in grace alone.
Father, help us go forward in grace alone, that you might receive all the glory. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us, and we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.